News with Nick. January 18th, 2020. Oops, that wasn't the right button. Welcome to the video version of the show. And if you want to watch it, head on over to newswithnick.com, where it will be linked to the post of the thing. And on the left-hand side of the page, you can type your phone number in and get text alerts when there's big news in the world or when there's just going to be a live stream, newswithnick.com. If you want to stop getting alerts, like you're over me, text stop to opt out, or I think unsubscribe. I don't know. It's part of, it's not my system. It's whatever Amazon does. So I think you can type stop to opt out, and it says you've opted out, but I can go into the system and I can re-opt you in. I don't know why that's even legal, but apparently I can, but I won't, I promise. If you want to be over it, you can be over it. What else is there on the site? You can just watch all the shows, and that's probably the best way to get updates as to when the show is going, because now the Portman Show Facebook page does not work, I'm pretty sure. If you go to Facebook and you look Portman Show, I don't think you can find it because it's been unpublished. Like, I can find it as a moderator, and I can't tell if anyone else can find it or if it's just the page now. All right. This past week, we had the Jeopardy Greatest of All Time tournament. Was everyone super excited about this? I got home every single day, lined up 26 beers and 5 sandwiches, and I'm like, we're gonna watch the Jeopardy Greatest of All Time tournament, where Ken Jennings, the guy who won 74 straight games, faced off against Brad Rutter, who's like, never lost to a person before, right? He lost to that computer called IBM, but that didn't count, right? And James Holzhauer, who was the guy from this past summer, who won like 32 straight games, right? So they're like, okay, how can we make more money off these people? Let's put them on prime time with Alex Trebek, and we're going to have them all face off against each other. It's going to be a best of seven. But when it's three people, best of seven is apparently you win. Well, it's not really best of seven because you don't have to win the majority of seven. You have to win three games. And the way the games are, or three matches, I guess, it's like tennis. You have to win three matches, and every match is a combination of two Jeopardy games, where the sum of the two games becomes the match total, right? Big whoop-de-doo. So Ken Jennings wins the first one. James wins the second one. Ken Jennings wins the third one. This entire time, this guy Brad is just standing on the side going, I don't know what's going on. He got like the most opportunities at daily doubles. I don't know if you guys know what this is, if you haven't followed Jeopardy, but you're allowed to bet your money, like, so you can like double up all of your money on these daily doubles. He was super lucky and got a bunch of them, and then he got almost all of them wrong. So he's just a guy standing in the corner. He's got like $1,000, and these two other guys have $20,000 each. And he's like, hello? I'm here too, right? So he did awful. But Ken Jennings wins the third game. So it's now 2-1, Ken versus James. And the way it's going to work is that if James wins the fourth game, oh my goodness, my brain hurts. If James wins the fourth game, it'll be 2-2, right? And they'll have to play to a fifth game. But if Ken wins the fourth game, then it's over. And he's going to be crowned the greatest of all time Jeopardy person. People think that two ABC sitcoms accidentally revealed the Jeopardy greatest of all time tournament winner. On Sunday, actress Wendy McClendon Covey tweeted an announcement for a new episode of ABC series The Goldbergs, which will return from its winter hiatus on January 15th. She tweeted, "See you this Wednesday for an all-new episode of The Goldbergs on ABC." One Twitter user replied to the actress that she has accidentally revealed the tournament that tournament player Ken Jennings had won the competition. Because if Ken wins on Tuesday, then they're not going to have Jeopardy on Wednesday. And this happens in football and, well, not football, I guess, but this happens in baseball and basketball and probably hockey too, where the series can end early if someone wins enough games. But that's all live, so nobody ever knows. But Jeopardy was like, hey, psst, psst, psst. Ken wins it in 4, so you can schedule other stuff. So these stupid actresses just tweet out, hey, I'm going to be back on Wednesday, thereby telling everyone that the game doesn't go to five games. The amount of disrespect that this shows to Jeopardy fans is unacceptable. These sports fans get all of their stuff given to them perfectly. No spoilers for the live game. No spoilers because it's live. But nope, don't care about Jeopardy, people. So in the last game, it comes down to the last Final Jeopardy, which is a Shakespeare question, and James almost never misses Final Jeopardy, and had he gotten it right, he would have won, and we would have gone to five games. I'm, like, pacing around the house. This is like the Patriots trying to beat Atlanta, 28-3. I'm like, oh, is he going to make it? Is he going to make it? And he gets it wrong, and so he loses. So Ken Jennings is crowned the greatest of all time by playing Jeopardy's go from the bottom strategy or whatever. Ooh, go from the bottom? Anyway, so that's cool. He'll probably never play again. And Alex Trebek was like, I'm dying, so you guys, I'll never see you again. I guess we'll see if the whole show ends now. TSA apologizes after an agent pulls on a Native American woman's braids at the MSP airport. This lady tweets out, going through security at the MSP airport, the agent said she needed to pat down my braids. She pulled them behind my shoulders, laughed, and said, "Giddy up," as she snapped my braids like reins. My hair is part of my spirit. I am a Native American. I am a Native woman. I am angry, humiliated, and your fun hurt. When I informed the middle-aged blonde woman that she had casually used her authority to dehumanize and disrespect me, she said, well, it was just in fun. I'm sorry. Your hair is lovely. This is not an apology, and it is not okay. The TSA reached out and apologized to the tribal attorney who had her braids pulled by an agent as she went through security. On Tuesday, TSA issued an updated statement saying that the TSA's federal security director from Minnesota, whose name is Cliff, had spoken to the woman and apologized for the insensitive actions and comment made by the TSA officer. TSA holds its employees to the highest standards of professional conduct, and any type of improper behavior is taken seriously. No, not really. TSA released a memo that Van Leeuwen sent to TSA staff at MSP. Who's Van Leeuwen? Oh, this is Cliff, the guy Cliff. Noting that Huska, which is the woman, had just expressed a desire that the agent in question didn't get into any trouble, instead requesting that the TSA use it as a teaching moment about the Native American tribes and bands. Oh, great. So now everyone in the TSA has to go to, like, Native American training. All right, everyone, sit down. This is now Native American training. What is okay and what is not okay? It is not okay to pull on someone's braids and say, "Getty up." It is not okay to make them get on all fours and you climb on their back and with a whip and you hit them and you say, "See how fast you can go, horsey." It is not okay to take their feathers and go, "Whoa, looks like a huge peacock." I don't know. Can you even go through TSA with that feather thing? Does anyone even wear that? I don't know. I don't know Native American things, and I would like to be invited to the TSA training moment about Native American tribes and the bands in Minnesota and the Midwest. It is not okay to search through their bags for Senecas and pull out all of the spares and be like, "Ha, I knew you'd have these because you're Native American." Okay, we have a arrest warrant out for something that happened a couple weeks ago. Like, it's similar to something that happened on one of the last shows, but it's something different. The NOPD, I think it's New Orleans, issues a battery warrant for Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. is a football player. He used to be good, and now he's with the Browns. New Orleans Police Department has obtained a warrant for the arrest of Odell Beckham Jr. in connection to alleged conduct he made with a security guard in the locker room after Monday's national championship game, which the national championship game was for college, not for the NFL. So Odell Beckham was not even a player. I think he was just chilling. He was like, "I'm Odell Beckham. Can I come in?" They're like, "Obviously." a law enforcement source that the simple battery warrant was signed by a judge Thursday morning. The NOPD's official statement says that the misdemeanor warrant was issued in regards to an incident that occurred on January 13th at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. News of the warrant comes after video surfaced showing a New Orleans native, which is the Cleveland Browns player, appearing to touch the backside of a security guard in the LSU team's locker room. Let's watch the video now. They're in the locker room, and there's a security guard, and he's talking to one of the players, and I think he's like, you got to put all your cigars out. You can't be smoking in here in celebration of your national championship.
Oh!
All right, security guard's searching around this player, looking for lit cigars.
Uh-oh.
And Odell Beckham walks up behind him. Oh!
Uh-oh.
Smacks him.
Lord.
Do you guys see that? Let's watch it again.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't do a super big wind-up, but he definitely hits him. How high is this guy? Was he, like, drinking the whole game, and now he's just in the locker room? So Odell Beckham walks up, hits the cop on the butt. Right? Does this remind anyone of something else that has happened in the past couple weeks? Remember last time the reporter? Hello, I'm at the marathon. It wasn't really a marathon. I'm at the race, and everyone's having a great time. Oh, I've been hit. Right? And then we chase that guy down, and he's charged with sexual assault. Right? So fine for hitting a lady. Is it sexual assault because we assume that he hit her because she was a lady and that he was sexually attracted to that? And that Odell Beckham maybe wasn't sexually attracted to this man in a security uniform? But how do we know that? Right? Okay, so let's see what he's been charged with. On Thursday, they obtained an arrest warrant accusing NFL player Odell Beckham Jr. of simple battery in relation to a locker room interaction he's had with a police officer. Wait a minute, they're saying police officer, and then the other article says security guard. But I'm pretty sure it was just security guard because later on it says the guy had to call the police and press charges. Team members were smoking victory cigars in the locker room, and reports that an officer told the players that anyone caught smoking was subject to arrest. Another officer later stepped in to tell players it was okay to smoke in the locker room. What? Now we got a super confusing situation here. Nobody was arrested and the party continued. Law enforcement source that says that authorities originally sought a warrant for a misdemeanor sexual battery charge, but it was declined by a judge. Why? The warrant was redrafted asserting a count of simple battery and it was approved. Is it because he didn't bite his lip when he did it? Like the guy who was running, he's like, right? If Odell Beckham Jr. had gone, nice, then would it be sexual battery? This is so confusing. Police said they began the investigation after the Superdome reached out to them on Tuesday. Louisiana law defines misdemeanor sexual battery as the intentional touching of the breasts or buttocks of a victim who did not consent to the contact. Carries a maximum of 6 months in jail. It is relatively more serious than other misdemeanors because it is not expungible in the event of conviction. The simple battery is just battery committed upon someone without the consent of the victim. That crime upon conviction calls for up to 6 months in prison and a maximum fine of $1,000. So, guess we'll see what happens there. I don't even know where Odell Beckham is now. He's probably not in New Orleans anymore. Is he going to be extradited? Is he going to drive himself down and be like, hello, it is I. Put those cuffs on me, I guess. So, we'll see what happens. Speaking of football games, a couple weeks ago, we had the Patriots who were going to play against the Titans in the wild card round of the playoffs, right? So I'm going for my morning run, and in the middle of my run, I'm like, well, the Patriots game is tonight. That's pretty cool. I can't wait to sit at home and watch that. And then I go, I wonder how much to go, because I got nothing else to do, and I've always wondered in these past couple months, if I could beat the parking system. Like, if I was alone and I went to a football game, could I outrun the entire stadium back to my car and get in my car and get out of there before anyone beats me and, like, traps me? Because mathematically, it's got to be true. Not everyone in the stadium could possibly be stuck for an hour after a game, right? There's got to be someone that gets out first. And that person saves like a lot of time in the grand scheme of their life. Anyway, it's going to be a playoff game. It's going to be the Patriots. It's going to be Tom Brady in possibly his last game at Gillette Stadium because he's becoming a free agent. And the media's like, he's a free agent. Is he going to go to some other team? No, he won't. He's going to be re-signed by the Patriots. But the media wants to hype it up that maybe he won't be back. Right. So I get home and I look on the Ticketmaster thing and I'm like, it's going to be like $500, $600 minimum. And I click on a seat, a relatively good seat, and it's like $260. And I'm like, oh, wow. That's amazing. And then that seat sells out like in 10 minutes. And I'm going, I have to drive 2 hours, get there early. And what if I do get stuck in traffic again on the way out? What a pain. And it's going to be kind of cold and rainy. But what's happened is that the Patriots normally get what's called a first-round bye in the playoffs, meaning they don't even play the first week, which this day in question was the first week. But they didn't do as well this year, so they didn't get their first-round bye. And what happened, the internet says, is that a lot of season ticket holders had banked on the fact that Patriots would get their first-round bye and like made other plans for the day that they were going to have to play. And so the tickets hit the resale market in higher numbers than they normally would have. So the prices went down. So I'm like, ooh, should I go? I messaged Brad, and Brad, former guest of the show, convinces me that, yeah, might as well go. Okay. So I put $350 on my credit card, and then you have to put the money on the credit card first so it absorbs it in, and then you can use it on the website, right? So I get the ticket, and I'm like, holy crap, it's like 2:30, 3 p.m. now, and the game starts at 8, so I got like an hour and a half to grab food and then drive for 2 hours. So I go, I get there, and I'm like, I'm going to take the furthest parking spot I see. I pull into a place, and they're like, $40. It's just some guy with a high-vis vest, and he goes, it's going to be $40. I don't know how much money they make. Let's say they park, I don't know. It wasn't a big lot, but they could probably fit 20, 25 cars in there. That's only $1,000, actually. Hopefully, they fit more than that. Anyway, I park 1.4 miles from the stadium. I walk to the stadium, get there a bit early, and the big game that's happening across the country in Houston is also on the big screens. So we all sit and we can hang out and we can watch the other game that's going on in Houston. And then that game in Houston goes into overtime, right? So now I'm like, oh, wow, I guess we're just going to have to wait. And that's what they do say. They're like, because of the game in Houston, we've delayed the start of the Patriots game for 10 minutes. All right. So the game finally starts, and I've got a pretty good seat. I'm at row 21, back from the 30-yard line. Really good view of everything. And about 10 minutes into the game, we're all still standing. Like, I'm in the rich people seats. Last time I went to a game, I was up in the 300 section, like 10 stories up in the air, where it's pretty chill up there. You just sit, and you can see the entire field, and people just hang out, and there's not a whole ton of standing, from what I could tell. But down in the rich people seats, everyone around me is standing to watch the game. We're all excited. And I turned to the guy next to me. I'm like, so do we stand the whole time? Now he knows I'm a huge noob, right? Because most of the people around in these seats are season ticket holders. They're like friends with each other. This guy was telling me that he's like, oh yeah, I own two seats here and I own two seats up there. So I gave the two up there to my friends for today. I'm like, okay, wow, amazing. So when you're a season ticket holder, like every year you just can rebuy, you own the rights to rebuy the season tickets every year. And the wait list for these types of things is like 20 years or whatever. You have to sign up and then you have to bequeath the season ticket rights to your friend. Is bequeath the correct word? You have to bestow the season ticket rights to your children in your will and maybe even your grandchildren And then finally, years from now, they're like, we're Patriots ticket holders. We've been waiting for 150 years for this moment. Right? So, so I turned to the guy. I'm like, do we stand the whole time? And he's like, yeah. Is that a problem? I'm like, no. We're good. We're good. So I'm just crunched in between these two people. And every time a big play happens, we're all like, woohoo. People are spilling beer on me, high-fiving me. Crazy stuff. But it's not going well. And the Patriots actually don't end up winning, which I was like, that is that is surprising. I was expecting to be in a Gillette Stadium where the Patriots were going to win and we would all be super excited and there would be so much hype and loud music. But it's like, no, everyone's just sad, right? So the game's about to end and I make my way toward the exit. And I'm like, now's the race. Now is me testing the system. Am I able to get back to my car and get out of here before I'm stuck in traffic for an hour? So I go and I start legit running. And I'm in boots, by the way. I did not pack running shoes because it was going to be rainy and cold. I'm in boots and I'm just running. And I'm going back and forth, in and out of people who are walking all dejected on the walkway. And a couple of them go, hey, slow down, or what's the rush? And I go, well, I don't say anything to them, but in my brain, I'm like, the rush is that you guys are going to be stuck in traffic and I'm not. So I hit the sidewalk and I'm running and I'm passing people left and right, running past sausage stands and everything. And I eventually get so far up toward my car and I look around and there is nobody else. I have outrun the entire stadium. At least of all the people that were going to go as far as I was going, I was the last person. There was nobody else around me from the game. And I'm like, it worked. I can't believe it. It worked. I get to my car. There's nobody in the parking lot. I jump in. I start it. And I drive out onto the highway. 0 second wait to get out of there. Amazing. I beat the system. So now I've proved it can be done. Anyone who wants to go to a game with me, though, you need to run at least a 9:30 mile, and we're going to do a track workout to prove it before we go to any games from now on, because this is going to be the procedure, right? So now I can't tell. Am I like, did I like it or not, right? I'm like, did I have fun? Because it was cool, but was it fun? Because at the end of the day, we lost. The team I wanted to win lost. And also, it's like, well, I mean, I could have seen the game on TV. It's not like I saw anything bonus, but it was the experience. And it's kind of cool. Like, there's only 60,000 people in that stadium. And the entire football world is watching this game. 20 million people probably watch this game. So it's kind of cool to be like, my eyeballs are looking at the game, but everyone else's eyeballs are not. They're just looking at the TV. I'm at the location that is really the center of the entire football world for these 3 hours. Here I am. How amazing is that? And I got in for only $350. That seems like it should be $3,000. I don't know. Now maybe I'm just addicted to going to games because I know it's easy to get out. Could I just start spending thousands a year just going to Patriots games for no reason? I don't know. Anyway, sorry. That was a long story about that. Sorry about that. I guess we'll find out next year. But anyway, start working out, everyone who wants to go, right? Sprints and stuff like that. Airline employee has stalked a passenger at San Diego Airport. Ashley Barno was waiting for her flight last April at the San Diego International Airport. And when looking at her phone, she saw the first of many text messages from an unknown sender. Hey, Ashley, how are you? Read the first text. I'm good, thank you, she replied. Sorry, I'm not sure who this is. Ashley didn't recognize the phone number on those texts, and the messages that followed made her increasingly uncomfortable. By the way, I must tell you that you are gorgeous, wrote the unknown sender. The whole time I kept asking him, who are you? How do you know who I am? And how did you get my info? Then another unwelcome text. You are looking very gorgeous in that gray top today. Okay, that's over the line. That's like if you're peering in someone's window and you send them a message and you're like, nice bathrobe. That's crazy. This is the stuff of movies where you answer the phone and they're like, I can see that your socks are mismatched. It's like, boom, boom, who's looking at me? The message prompted Barno to look for familiar faces in the American Airlines boarding area. That's when the sender identified himself as Ahmad and told Barno that he worked for the airline. The unwanted messages continued after Barno boarded her flight to Chicago. Then a text that really unnerved her. I'm on board now. Are you going to Chicago too? ? Wait. So if this guy was really stalking her and then he got on board, that's the dumbest question you could ever ask. Hey, are you going to Chicago too? Because we're both on the same plane. The answer is yes. No, I'm going to Vegas. I don't know. Just knowing that he knew what I looked like and that we were in an enclosed plane and there's no way out, it really, really scared me. The unwelcome text messages continued. Will you join me? ? Ahmad wrote. I really like you. Come on, join me. Well, he doesn't say what seat he's in. Barno responded, Ashley, leave me alone. He writes, okay, it's up to you, but friendship with me will be very beneficial for you. I can always give you good seats, access to the lounges, and free drinks. Ooh, I would have been like, nice. At this point, yeah, sure, I'll be friends with you, Ahmad. All right, let's see what this lady has to say.
It's like looking around and trying to figure out who is watching me.
Ashley says her anxiety grew when the man texting her claimed to work for American Airlines. He said his name was Ahmad. It was about to get even creepier after Ashley boarded her flight from San Diego to Chicago. I am on board now. Are you going to Chicago too? Ahmad asked. Yep, he was on board the same plane, and he was watching her as she filed past him on her way to her seat.
I was already scared prior, but that made it even worse because we're going to be together on an enclosed plane for 4 hours.
You want to sit next to me? Ahmad asked. What's your seat number?
Oh, ew.
Ashley says she'd had enough. She texted back, not okay.
Oh, wow. There's video in this video of her just on her phone. Like, hey, pretend to be texting so that we can use that in the footage of the news story.
Enough. She texted back, not okay, not cool. Okay.
Every time it goes bloop, bloop, this is a graphic on the news story that is showing a text message. Like, does the news have software like called the text message simulator program where you just type in a text message and it shows up on the news?
It's up to you, but friendship with me will be very beneficial for you. I can always give you good seats, access to the lounges, and free flights too. In total, Ashley says she received, get this, 100 texts from him during the four-hour flight.
Oh my goodness, there's like screenshots of the texts on the news story. This is way more exciting than listening to her talk. Okay, so here are the things that she writes. I want to read what she writes because that's way more interesting. Let's see. You work for the airline. Which airline? She says, how did you get my number? She said, I'm so confused right now. LOL. Oh, she thinks this is funny, huh? She said, what's your name? He says, you guess. She said, doesn't work like that. And she says, I would remember the name Ahmad. This is weird. Come and say hi then if you see me. He says, I can't find you now, but you were looking very gorgeous in this gray top. Oh man, the news cut out some of the good stuff here. She said, are you working the flight? She said, where do you work? She said, Chicago is home, ? She said, he says, do you have a better seat? And she says, better than what, ? Why do I always add question marks to the end of stuff that I say? Is this the autism? She says, blah, 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 ? I'm sorry for doing that, guys. That's really dumb. He says, I think you don't want to talk to me. She says, this is uncomfortable, ! Okay, so she's getting good now. She says, I don't know who you are and what you're describing what I'm wearing. She says, where are you sitting? She said, so you saw me get on the flight? He says, do you want to sit next to me? And yeah, I did. She says, why didn't you say hello? He said, what's your seat number? He says, what's your seat number? I am scared, like as I'm nervous to talk to you. She says, when I walked by, why didn't you say hi to me? She says, scared of what? Okay, so the news said she got 100 text messages. And that's probably true. But she's replying to a lot of these. I'm not saying that that's wrong, right? So sometimes you want to, sometimes you don't want to make your aggressor angry, right? You try to like let him down nice. So she said, you're not the one that should be scared in this situation. Good one, good one. I can't read that one. Oh, I can't see it. It's too hard to read. So she says, I gave you my number, ? And he said, I got it from your bag tag. And she says, that's what I thought. She says, I really like you. He says, I really like you. She says, this is not okay, not cool. He says, I have two seats open next to me. And she writes back, good for you. Ha!
Nice.
Good for you. Then she writes, leave me alone. She writes, you work for the airline. Which airline? Okay, so she keeps asking this so that she can complain to the airline, obviously. She says, again, how did you get my number? She says, oh, wait. Wait a minute. They reused a screenshot. Stupid news. Why would you do this? They didn't even put it in the right order. They put a screenshot down here. I'm pointing to my screen like you guys can see it. They put a screenshot down here that's the same screenshot as up here. And now I'm just reading over and over again like a real idiot. All right. So he says, I am at row 15. If you want to come and join me once the aircraft get airborne, I can assure you that it will never happen again and I will take very good care of you. Just looking for one chance to prove myself. I will be very respectful to you always. He says, I think it's a no then. And he sends an image with a man in a flower and it says, forgive me, ?
Bitmoji as an apology for his persistence.
Ashley Barno says she showed the text messages to a flight attendant who recognized the American Airlines employee and told Ashley this wasn't the first time he'd done this. When the plane landed in Chicago, he was escorted off. But how had he gotten the passenger's name and cell phone?
This is not the first time he did this and he still worked for the company? Sir, Ahmad, come in here. Come in here. You can't get people's numbers off their bag tags and then harass them over text for the entire flight. Okay? Consider this your third warning. And then he still has a job.
Phone number in the first place.
Ahmad admitted that he'd spotted her information on her luggage tag.
It's always a good idea to have a bag tag that has a cover on it. That way you can put your personal information inside, but it's protected so not everybody can take a look.
Wait, how is it protected? Because Ahmad is physically unable to open the snap on the bag tag?
Get it.
Not only did he get my name and phone number, he got my home address as well.
Ashley is suing American Airlines for negligent hiring, and she's suing the man for sexual harassment in a statement to Inside Edition.
I mean, did he say anything sexual? Listen, not defending Ahmad. I'm just saying, where's the sexual harassment line? What is Ahmad to do? What is Ahmad to do if you're really attracted to someone and you have their bag tag number? Not take a chance? I mean, have you seen these movies? Love Actually? That's how it would work out in that movie. He's like, it's my one chance at love. And I saw her bag tag. I'm going to have to send a Bitmoji and risk it and see what happens. Right? That's crazy. But yeah, was there anything? Was there anything sexual? We'll have to figure out how that story goes. We'll probably not hear anything for another year because this happened in April and then the lawsuit was just filed now. So whatever. It's not sexual harassment to be like, come sit next to me. My name is Ahmad. It's just very strange. At least 60 people have been treated after a plane dumps jet fuel all over them. Jet fuel dumped from a Delta airliner preparing to make an emergency landing at LA International Airport fell over a wide swath of the area, sending hazardous materials teams to multiple schools, but only minor injuries were reported, and nobody was hospitalized. There's a guy cleaning.
Cleaning up thousands of gallons of jet fuel dumped on Park Avenue Elementary School during lunch recess.
while children were outside on the playground.
Their eyes were red, and then they were getting itchy all over their body.
I felt like, I don't know what it was, but it kind of smelled like gas.
Today is...
A resident captured the moment the Boeing 777 dumped its fuel.
You might think that that's like a terrorist attack. You're like outside for recess, and you look up, and there's just a plane dumping chemicals all over your school.
Need to return to LAX.
Shortly after takeoff at 11:35 local time, the pilot of Delta Flight 89 radioed air traffic control reporting engine trouble.
We've got the engine and we have compressor stalls. We've got it back under control.
The plane was bound for Shanghai, China, with 181 people on board.
So you don't need to hold the dump fuel or anything like that?
Negative. We'll be requesting runway 25 right.
Okay, so they're making a big deal out of this exchange right here, where the air traffic controller says, you don't need to dump fuel or anything like that. Question mark. Callback. And the pilot says, negative. Which means he does need to dump fuel. You don't need to dump fuel, question mark, negative, right? How do I go back in the video? Let's listen to it again.
181 people on board.
So you don't need to hold the dump fuel or anything like that?
Negative. We'll be requesting runway 25 right.
Around that time, students in Cudahy reported a chemical substance.
I hope that goes to court or something. They're like, the pilot was negligent. He said he didn't have to dump fuel, and then he dumped it all over a bunch of kids because he thought it'd be funny. And he's like, no. I said negative to not having to dump fuel.
Raining from the sky. Firefighters and hazmat crews rushed to the school. Several other South LA schools along the plane's path also reported being hit by jet fuel. Officials say in all, 67 people, including at least 24 children, were treated for minor injuries related to exposure. Cudahy's mayor says 14 area schools were impacted. Whoa. Parents expressed anger at the fuel dump.
Oh, yes.
Couldn't they have picked a better place to dump this? I understand emergencies happen. But this is an area where you have children.
The plane ended up landing safely. Delta expressed concern for those that were injured and released a statement saying, in part, the aircraft landed safely after a release of fuel, which was required as part of a normal procedure to reach a safe landing weight.
A volatile organic compound.
It is normal procedure to dump fuel all over the kids before we land.
Reassured the public that the area is safe.
With the monitoring devices that we have, there's no explosive limits that are being detected at all, as well as solid or liquid products remain.
Ew. Disgusting. They didn't dump that part of the plane, right? Anyway, so that's pretty funny. I think everyone's overblowing this. It doesn't seem like anything really happened, right? The fuel, like, almost fully dissipated. It's not like you were outside, like, Sarah and Becky, like, talking, and then all of a sudden, poof, and their, like, hair is soaked. It was like vapor almost by the time it made it down to the school. But still, that's pretty cool. All right. We got some new business out in Calgary. Calgarians can now rent... Calgarians? I am a Calgarian. I guess that really is what it's called. It's like a Game of Thrones thing. Calgarians can now rent a sex doll from the comfort of their home.
It's a concept you might find a little foreign, but sex doll rental services have been popular in Europe and Asia for years. Calgary now has a company that will deliver the dolls to your doorstep. As Brenna Rose reports, the entrepreneur behind it is hoping to address a subject that could provide comfort to customers.
Did he just say undress a subject? And did I just say he for this female-looking reporter? That was an accident. I think they said address a subject.
Doorstep. As Brenna Rose reports, the entrepreneur behind it is hoping to undress a subject that could provide comfort to customers.
She says undress.
Anastasia is a ski instructor. Lara recently retired from the Army.
They have eyelashes. They have different eyeballs.
I have that VR game.
Escorts available for hire.
Bella here weighs about 85 pounds, and she can be challenging to move, but again, it adds to the realistic factor.
That's right. Bella and the rest of the women and Cameron, the only man on the roster, aren't human.
We're a door-to-door rental service. We rent out TPE sex dolls.
Explicit encounters with discreet delivery, pickup, and cleaning start at $150. The man behind Calgary's Natural Dolls...
Wait, what the heck? Why are there... Why are there tampons in this shot? I can understand the condoms.
Asked us to hide his face because he's worried it'll impact his other job at an oil company.
So right now our number one problem is exposure because people do have a certain taboo surrounding this industry.
It's a relatively new industry in Canada, despite a few attempts to open sex doll
brothels. All right, let's head on over to the website, and there's going to be certain links that I cannot click or we will get banned from Facebook. However, I have the FAQ from naturaldolls.com out of Canada. Is this legal? Yes, this is legal. At the end of the day, they are simply dolls. Studies show that over 30,000 dolls in North America, and that number is growing significantly every day. How does delivery work? We deliver to your location, hotel, residence, and numerous other safe locations. When booking, there is a comment section. We ask you to put instructions regarding how you would like the doll to be delivered, including placement and specific times. We can't guarantee an exact time for pickup and delivery, but we can promise that you will get your full time with the doll, because we clearly start a stopwatch as soon as we drop it off. You will be notified when our drivers are at your location. What if they got there like 2 hours later because you had the 2-hour rental and they're like, open up, give us that doll back. And the guy inside is like, I'm not done yet, almost. I guess they just charge you extra, right? Because they have your credit card. It's not going to be like, open up, get her, get the doll. They've got the doll recovery SWAT team. All of our dolls are transported in black cases that look similar to band equipment. So there's no need to worry about curious neighbors. Oh, Joe keeps getting new drums every week. How does pickup work? Before we pick up the dolls, we ask you to have them ready to go to an extent. We want to be in and out quickly. Ugh! Disgusting! We will bring the case inside, place the doll inside the case, and leave. We will be wearing masks so that you cannot recognize us from our job at the oil company. And don't look. We ask you to turn your back and do not look at us. Can the dolls stain my sheets? These dolls are not silicone. They are made from a material called TPE. Fascinating. Okay, let's see. What else is there? Can the dolls get wet? All right. We ask you not to get the dolls wet. Like we mentioned, they will absorb water and other liquids that will come out of their skin with any type of pressure. Ooh. They just start leaking when you, like, squeeze their arm or something? How can I use the dolls? Don't get them wet, obviously. So no hot tub parties with these. It says these dolls are delicate. They are on the same frame as humans are. They have the same joints as people. We built them using recovered skeletons from our ancestors. That's not in there. The dolls cannot go into unrealistic positions. I'll show you an unrealistic position. We ask that you be careful when maneuvering the dolls. They are heavy and their skin is sensitive. Wait a minute. They used the wrong there here. I'm never renting from these people if they can't use their grammar. Their skin is sensitive. We ask that you do not bite or pull on any areas of the dolls. Don't do anything to the dolls that you wouldn't do to a real person. Okay, those two statements are contradictory, but okay. What do the dolls come with? Each doll will come with condoms and lube. It is mandatory that you use both. How are the dolls cleaned? Okay. This is our number one question. The dolls are taken through a rigorous multi-stage cleaning process completed by trained and certified employees of Natural Dolls. After a full interior and exterior wash using antibacterial soap and nitrogen peroxide, we go over the dolls with a black light and UVC light, ensuring that there is nothing on the inside or outside of the doll. They are cleaner than any person. Okay. The dolls are taken through a rigorous multi-stage cleaning process completed by a trained and certified employee of Natural Dolls. Natural Dolls is the company. How do you become a certified employee of Natural Dolls? They just say, you're an employee, and you're certified. I don't think that proves you know anything about cleaning, right? You're just, the Natural Dolls certification, I don't think carries any weight. I'm just saying. All right, whatever. Do the dolls come in outfits? Your doll will be dropped off clothed, but not necessarily in the outfit as shown. Do not dress the doll in different outfits. as dye from certain clothes can stain the surface of the doll. Final question. Why wouldn't I just get an escort? This is another very common question we get, but there is a very simple answer. You never know what you're going to get. When you order from Natural Dolls, the doll you select is the exact doll that is going to show up. They don't look any different than the person in the pictures. Wow, they're really having to throw some shade at these escorts in order to prop up their own business. They're going to be like, the dolls haven't eaten too much last night. The dolls didn't get fat between the time the picture was taken and not. Among the countless other benefits of doll versus escort, the doll won't say no. Ugh! You can act on any fantasy you have ever had, except for biting or dressing them up, apparently, or putting them in a hot tub. And I can do all that, I think, I assume, to an escort. At least they can get wet. When you or I'm melting because I'm an escort and I can't get wet. When you order an escort, they might not be the only one that shows up. Huh? Wait a minute. You might have your companion for the night, and then her boss will show up. That one thing we guarantee, we won't show up, take your money, and leave. You will get your full time with the doll. So they're saying that sometimes, you know, you order a prostitute, they show up, but really, a guy with a bunch of muscles also shows up. They just take your money, and they go, have fun tonight alone with less money and nobody, right? Oh my God, amazing. Anyway, move to Calgary, I guess. Become a Calgarian. Give birth to several Calgarian sons who will inherit the universe and then order some natural dolls. Oh, but wait, you can't because you're just doing natural dolls. You can't even have any sons to take over the Calgarian family name. We're only halfway through the news. What do we do? Do we keep talking? It's been 50 minutes. This show's going forever. Man defends his child porn collection by claiming to be an 8-year-old girl.
About the mature content in this next story. A Grand Rapids man with a history of sex crimes is back in prison.
Hey, Eric, is this your friend? Do you know this guy?
For what was found on his home computer. 45-year-old Joseph Gobrick says the images police found were not child pornography. He says they were protected by his First Amendment right to free speech. 13 On Your Side's John Hogan has a closer look at the Kent County case that started
boring.
2 years ago.
I tried to say boring while clicking the pause button, but it didn't go. A convicted sex offender from Grand Rapids, Michigan. He says he identifies as an 8-year-old girl, will spend at least a decade in prison for dozens of images of child pornography found on his home computer. Joseph Gobrick claims the images were computer animated and protected under the First Amendment. Now, this is interesting, right? Because if they are, then are they child porn or not? He says, I've always been an 8-year-old girl, and even my drawings and fantasies, I am always an 8-year-old girl. But police say that 8 child victims were identified in the pornography recovered on Gobrick's computer. Okay, that is bad. I mean, it's bad, but it's also good in the sense that, like, the crime really did happen, right? Some of the images depicted children between the ages of infant and 5-year-old being sexually assaulted, court records show. Even during the trial, the defendant continued to draw, talking about raping babies in the Kent County Jail and making other statements about how this is his constitutional right to continue to do so. Prosecutor Daniel Helmer says, the Kent County District Court judge recently sentenced him to between 10 and 20 years in prison based on everything he said and done, including bragging about what he was drawing in his cell. He obviously doesn't think child sexually abusive material is wrong. This isn't just virtual stuff. This is also real people being harmed. The case was bizarre. At a bench trial, he fired his court-appointed attorney and opted to represent himself. He argued that the images found on his computer were created using an image manipulation program. He also said the images were protected under the First Amendment. The judge found him guilty on 3 counts of sexually abusive commercial
activity. For delivery of drugs and identity theft. The victim in this crime, a 45-year-old man who went to prison for a 2018 methamphetamine.
What's playing?
While he was away.
What the heck? Great, now we got to edit that out. 3 counts of he was sorry. The judge found him guilty on three counts of child sexually abusive commercial activity. What? Is he selling it and using a computer to commit a crime? Gabra continued to maintain his innocence at sentencing and challenged the legality of his prosecution. Now, why is using a computer to commit a crime an extra charge? You committed a crime, and it was on the computer. Extra crime. That's an extra crime. It's like, no, I committed a crime, period. Oh, yeah? Well, you used the keyboard, and you used the mouse, and you used Adobe Photoshop CS4, which you stole from Pirate Bay. So that's four more crimes. No, you don't... Using a keyboard to commit a crime. Using a mouse to commit a crime. I don't know. Anyway, let's see if we can find him talking in court.
...were on Goldbrick's computer. They included actual victims known to police. But that was affected by...
...with a rattlesnake. If you no sooner have sex with a child than you would with a rattlesnake. It's just not safe.
Judge Paul...
He says, I would no sooner have sex with a child than you would have sex with a rattlesnake because it's not safe. Next story. 14-year-old girl has been arrested for eluding police and driving while impaired after leading police on a high-speed chase. Just before 12:30 a.m., so midnight 30, a trooper spotted an SUV speeding along 112th Street near 9th, blah, 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 and attempted to pull the driver over. The vehicle failed to yield to the trooper, and a pursuit happened. The driver reached speeds of 90 to 100 miles per hour. Let's see what the community has to say about this terrible person.
That's crazy. I never thought someone that was 14 could actually drive that fast and not wreck right away.
This guy is just gel. He's got his mustache and his beard and his Raiders hat, and he's like, whoa, she's 14 and she can go that fast?
Not wreck right away.
Given the way the car and troopers were flying by and the midnight hour, Aaron Kelsey would have never guessed who was behind the wheel. The loud sirens is what caught Aaron's attention while he was working at a fast food joint.
As I walked to the front of the store, I seen the last cop car coming, and I mean, like, he passed so fast, all I seen, like, I seen the first car, and by the time I looked again, he was gone.
Troopers had been chasing a car that was speeding nearly 100 miles per hour through South Hill. They finally threw down spike strips to stop the car near State Route 512 and 94th Street. To their surprise, two 14-year-old girls jumped out. But they didn't stop there. They ran on foot.
I don't know that you ever expect a 14-year-old to pop out of the car after a high-speed chase.
Troopers finally caught the girls. The passenger had been reported missing and released to her parents. The driver was booked in juvenile detention center for driving under the influence and eluding police.
You're putting your life at risk.
Boring. All right. So they deployed spike strips. Two 14-year-old girls pop out. They're like, we're drunk. Don't hurt us. And that's the end of that story. I just thought the guy was funny. Speaking of state troopers, I was in the bar the other week and like last weekend with some work people and this girl walks up to us and she's like, hey, you guys look cool. You guys want to chat? I don't really have many friends around here. I'm just hanging out in town trying to meet new people. We're like, cool. Hey, how's it going? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. She's not super talkative. Like, she doesn't have a whole lot of things. I'm like, what do you think of the Jeopardy Greatest of All Time tournament? What do you think of the Patriots losing? Because the other game was on in the background because it was last weekend. And then we talk about how we're all working together. We're work friends, so we're out. And then someone's like, so where do you work? And she's like, I work for the Department of Safety. And I go, and she says, I'm a state trooper. And I go, ooh, really? And she goes, yes, are you okay? And I go, well, I've been better. And so I ask her about, like, how are you? How did you become a state trooper? Are you new? Is this your first position? Why did you take a job in New Hampshire versus another place? And then I'm like, have you heard of those Free Staters? Because I've heard of them. She's like, yeah. Sometimes, like, I just want to pull people over and get their license. And some people are just like, I'm not going to give you my license. And I'm like, you got to give me your license. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we chat for a bit, but it's becoming more and more clear that we are enemies, right? And I feel bad because it's like, she seems nice, she seems fine, but also, it's a state trooper. What am I going to do, right? You can't do it. You can't, I don't know. I could say something that upsets her and then she could call her friends, right? I'm very scared of this stuff. And at one point during the conversation, we hear someone nearby us. A lady asks a man, says, "Are you okay to drive?" And I go, "Don't look." Right? So I don't know whatever happened to that guy. I should have just told him, like, "Hey, by the way, you just said that in front of like an off-duty officer. You might want to, A, if you're even asking that question, just get a ride, but B, also definitely, certainly take a ride now because of what just heard." Now, I don't think that these people, when they're off the clock, really want to be in cop mode, right? On the other hand, in their professional life, they are used to being in control of every situation, right? If you're a cop and you walk up to a social interaction, usually it's with a non-cop, and usually the cop is taught, "I need to be in charge of the situation," right? And if they're not in charge, they get uncomfortable. They pull their guns out. They go, "Show me your hands, show me your hands, show me your hands," boom, 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 boom. "Oh, wait, just kidding, it wasn't my apartment," right? This is what these people do when they get uncomfortable. So I'm like, eh. And then, unrelated to me thinking that, by the way, because this is going to sound weird when I say it, I'm running out of things to ask this person about. She tells us she likes hunting. She tells us she likes fishing. She tells us she works a lot. And so I go, "Oh, hey, so do you like concealed carry a lot?" That's a question that I've asked my other gun friends, and they go, "Yeah or no." But apparently that did not make her very happy. She was like, "Why?" And then she changed the subject and she said, "You know, I can get along with people like you," or whatever, normally. And then she excused herself from the situation and left the bar. And I turned to my work friend and I'm like, guess I made her uncomfortable by asking if she concealed carries. So that was that. And hopefully she doesn't call the other police on me going, "That guy was fishing for info." Anyway, scary stuff. New Hampshire family stranded for hours after following the wrong turn directions on GPS. Now, we used to have a friend of the show that did this. Wait a minute. We had a friend of the show that did this, right? Up in Grafton. Let's find out what happens.
"The car is brand new. Unfortunately, Mom wasn't there to navigate."
My wife was...
What's that supposed to mean? Wait a minute. What's that supposed to mean? That if a woman was there, everything would have been fine? They can laugh about it now, but a Massachusetts family wasn't laughing when they were stranded for nearly 7 hours on Saturday on a snowy road in New Hampshire. The family from Burlington asked their names not be used. "We don't want to be associated with our oil jobs." They're avid skiers who were trying to get back to their hotel after a day on the slopes at the Bretton Woods ski area. The father was driving with his three sons, their cousins, and his brother-in-law. Wait, driving with his three sons, their cousins, doesn't say how many cousins yet, and his brother-in-law. So that's at least four, let's say two cousins minimum, six, and a guy, seven, in their new minivan. That's a full minivan. I know, because I used to ride in one. They say the GPS directed him to turn onto Jefferson Notch Road, which is a snowmobile trail. He traveled about 2.5 miles down the road before realizing it was a snowmobile trail. "I saw a sign that said this is not maintained for winter, but we didn't see anything that says no vehicles allowed." That means no vehicles allowed. Not snow, not maintained for winter. Okay. Is it winter? And does it look maintained? And does the sign say not maintained? All yes. Yes, no, yes. Therefore, don't go on the road. Let's see what this guy has to say.
was there, you know, she wouldn't have allowed me to continue this kind of road.
Datu admits it wasn't his finest hour.
It was somewhat reckless on my part also.
Avid skiers, the Burlington father left Bretton Woods with his three sons, their cousins, and brother-in-law Saturday evening. They were trying to make the 45-minute journey back to their hotel in the family minivan using what they thought was reliable GPS.
I wonder what hotel they were going to. Maybe I've stayed there.
Gate was open, and we thought it might be a short distance, so let's, you know, try it out.
This is what happened to Peter. He was like, the GPS says go this way. It doesn't look great. Let's try it. And then he drove down the road and sunk in and said, uh-oh, we're stuck.
You thought it might be a shortcut?
Yes.
It took Datu 2.5 miles to realize it was not. It was a snowmobile trail.
We couldn't find any stable ground to make a U-turn. Either we had to drive in the reverse or keep driving straight.
They'll admit at that point there were nerves, and then the car fell into a ditch. With no cell service,
they're only... Oh my God. I've been up there, and there is no cell service. I had to use the nav on my car to get somewhere once. That's insane. I'm like, good thing that was built in. I would be lost.
SOS button active only because the car is brand new.
We asked them that we need a roadside assistant.
It would be hours before a tow truck reached them and hours more before the fire department with a snowmobile.
His plan was to take one person at a time out.
By 2 a.m., all seven members of this stranded family reached the main road from which they ventured off. When he woke the next morning, Datu's greatest concern was informing his wife.
What lesson you learned?
The dad is asking the kid what lesson he learned? Let's find out.
Don't trust you.
Oh! I've not seen this. That's funny. Don't trust you. Oh my goodness, this is crazy. Why are they doing this to this man? He already almost killed his entire family, and then you got to make fun of him for it?
Informing his wife.
What lesson you learned?
Don't trust you.
This family is forever indebted and very grateful for the tow truck operator and the first responders
they used that.
Who helped rescue them out of the middle of nowhere. And yes, they will be going back to Bretton Woods soon. In Burlington, Julie Lonchek.
Oh my goodness. The photo showed they tried to get out, but the minivan was stuck. We tried a rug under the wheel to give some extra traction, some wood, branches. There was no way we could get out of that place. There was no cell service, so they used the van's roadside assistance feature to call for a tow truck. So that's lucky that that was active. This could have been way worse. What if the car didn't have its, like, didn't have one of these features? What if these people were poor and were driving a 2006 Caravan around with no DVD player? And or anything, and they go, I guess we just die. No, I guess you could hike back to the 2.4 miles is not unhikeable, right? You just strap on the backpack. You go, kids, if you don't hear from me in 6 hours, you're on your own. And you gotta hike back to the road yourself. The family said they are grateful to first responders, blah, 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 blah. Fascinating. All right. On to the next story of a man trapped. State authorities rescued 30-year-old Tyson Steele after a fire destroyed his remote cabin in Alaska. He lived on canned foods and that survived his fire and made a basic tent out of debris in sub-zero temperatures. So, he was alive for 3 weeks in Alaska. This is the news story. Chet says 2.4 miles, that's nothing. Yeah. I mean, So on a road, that would take a normal person 20 minutes a mile to cover, right? Do the math. On a snow-covered road, I guess, at worst, 30 minutes a mile? I don't know. Because you're just trudging? So there's an 8-page story of this man who had his house caught fire. He says, it goes up in flames faster than I can imagine. It just, from the point of going back and seeing the roof on fire, going back in, like there's smoke everywhere. There's this image that keeps coming back in my mind of a swirling flame coming sideways at my face, you know? And the worst of all this, he says, I can survive 23 days again, but my dog was in there. Oh, that's the sad part. He says, I stepped outside and everything's on fire. I've got to think of what to do next. I grab my rifle around the other side of the cabin. My dog starts howling, right, from the inside. Oh, we can't read the part about the dog. It's too sad. I grab all my stuff. I sit down, and it feels foggy now because everything went so fast. Everything that I owned was consolidated in that cabin. That was another problem. All of my bullets. I had 500 rounds, probably, and shotgun shells and a whole bunch of other different shells. The one I recovered was out of bullets. Oh, great. So the one gun he grabbed had no bullets in it. And the bullets were in an ammo box exploding. Pow, 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 pow. It was a war zone. It was like 500 rounds going off all at once. I don't know if I can even approach the cabin to put it out. There's 500 rounds of ammunition going off. So I didn't know that this was a thing. And I guess everything in the world is a thing. But this man just has a cabin in Alaska. And that's just where he lives? Or what? So he has a bunch of food, and, you know, all the stuff that you would have in a house, but it caught fire, so a lot of his stuff just burns. He says, after sitting there for a while, I think, okay, I got to get my food. A 2-year food supply is in there, but here's the problem. Number three or four. He's lost track of the problems. I had it stored with all of the Crisco and oils and greases and whatnot, and it was right next to the bullets. The fire just picked that up, and there was a propane tank there too. So there's explosions going everywhere. The fire is huge. It's a massive grease fire. Every shovel of snow that I throw on it, I was hysterical trying to put it out, and it's not doing anything. And I worked up into the morning, into the light, trying to put out various sections of the fire. He says, we were close to the darkest night of the year. So I'm not cold at this point. I just sit down at the burning house. In fact, I threw a few logs on one of the corners to keep it going. So at one point he's like, we got to put this fire out. And then it's like, well, actually this fire is the only thing keeping me alive. So I'll just throw some more logs on my burning house. I started going through a plan. The whole pantry area at this time was covered in snow, so my first objective was making an inventory and eat something because I'd been working my butt off all night. I got all my cans and figured I had 2 cans a day for 30 days on rations. I also had a jar of beans, a couple jars of peanut butter. It was melted plastic. Ooh. I had a jar of mayonnaise, but I didn't want to touch that. The thing was, half of those cans, they've heated and popped open and the smoke circulating inside the can. So it tastes like my home, which is just burning. The first 2 nights I slept in a snow cave. It was just, so there's no story, there's no word yet on how he decided, like, I'm going to call for help. How does he call for help? The first 2 nights I slept in a snow cave, it was just big enough for my sleeping bags and me and a couple of things of food. And that stayed, you know, snow caves are pretty nice for survival. There's a lot of insulation. It was negative 40 out, or it could be. And if you have a candle, which I didn't, but if you do, it can be above 30 degrees in the cave. Huh. And this must be Celsius. Oh, no. Alaska's not Canada. It must be normal temperature. I just huddled into that dark cave and I slept. I slept for a really long time and it was warm, warmer than outside. My next goal was to build a shelter that can be a little more comfortable. I made the connections of when are people going to start getting worried about me? When I got there, I called a homestead at this point in September. Oh, man. I had a brand new phone and had a battery charging issues that I did not find out about until I got there. So he got there in September. Okay, so we're learning now about the history. So I'm stuck with just a crappy phone. It just doesn't charge. In fact, I could plug it in and watch the percentage go down. Huh? So it made me break another rule that I established for years that was to be strict on my communication weekly. Call my parents, let them know I'm good. Because it was just a crappy phone. I maybe would not do it on the weekend. I would do it a few days after. I'd call them up and say, yeah, we were a little worried. And I'd say, this is a crappy phone. So he's banking on the fact that he doesn't call his parents, they're going to be like, what the heck? Okay. So anyway, he tells this whole story and let's see what happens. He managed to keep his wood stove burning using tree bark and a candle he kept with him. He stamped an SOS sign in the snow using ash to make the letters stand out and made a trail to the frozen lake nearby where he thought a rescue plane could land. Wow! What a smart man! So he does SOS and then he like sets up a trail for the rescuers. He was eventually saved when his relatives were concerned about his lack of contact and asked Alaska to check on him. After his ordeal, he said he would go back to his family in Utah and hang out with their dog. So, he survives. Is everyone bored yet? Do we need to end the show or what? Or do we keep going? My mouth is getting a little dry, but we got a lot more to get to, and this is going to be the longest show I've ever done. Speaking of people trapped, after a workout at a 24-hour fitness late on Saturday night, Dan Hill found himself locked inside. Confused as to how he could get locked in a 24-hour gym, Hill told ABC4 News he didn't want to open the door because he knew the security alarms would sound and the cops would think he broke in. He was calling friends and family about what to do. Hill said some told him to just walk out, others said to call 911, and his wife told him to find a comfortable place to sleep. I called dispatch, and the guy pauses for like 10 seconds, and he says, "You're where?" Hill says, "I'm in a 24-hour fitness, there's an alarm system, and I don't want to get busted for breaking and entering." In the meantime, he posted on Facebook saying, "I'm literally locked inside a 24-hour fitness right now. They closed the doors and went home while I was swimming my laps in the pool." Ha! Oh my goodness, this is true. They closed it. Doesn't the name suggest they stay open 24 hours? Walking around trying to figure out how to get out. I called Sandy Dispatch. They told me they'd call me back. My wife told me to have a comfortable place to sleep. Ha! This is hilarious. So he posted on Facebook, here's a photo, of him just taking a selfie in the 24-hour fitness. I'm literally trapped in 24-hour fitness right now. I just thought it was kind of funny at the start, kind of like Home Alone. He was like, "Oh gosh, I have the whole gym to myself." Has this ever happened to you guys? I've been running on the treadmill, running. And then I get off the treadmill, I shut it off, and I look around, and I'm like, huh, there's nobody else in the cardio area. Oh, well, I guess everyone was done with cardio. I walk to the weight area. I look around, like, there's nobody else in the weight area. I walk to the front desk. There's one man sitting there, tapping his fingers. And I go, "Are you closed?" And he said, "Yeah. We closed like 10 minutes ago." I'm like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm an asshole." That man was just sitting there. Some idiot was kept running on the treadmill past the time that the gym closed. And he's like, "I gotta go home." And this idiot just keeps running on the treadmill. I'm like, "I'm so sorry. Let me grab my stuff out of the locker room. I will get right out of here." Right? So I didn't get my weights in that day. That's their own fault for closing at 7 or whatever. I don't even know what that was. After spending more than an hour inside the gym, he was only in there for an hour. He posts, free at last. Thanks to 3 nice cops, I am free at last. Whatever. This is the dumbest story. He could have just walked right out. The alarm would go off. Big whoop. The security cams will clearly show that he was locked in, right? Not locked out. Now we get to the part of the show, which is listener submissions. These are stories that everyone else has sent in. Thanks for doing that, and you can send on your listener submissions at news@newswithnick.com is the email address, or on the website, I believe that there is a form where you can just type in the news and just submit it on the contact form. A California couple was arrested last week for allegedly luring in thieves with an unguarded bicycle and then beating them with baseball bats. Corey and Savannah claimed they were robbed the first night they spent in their Visalia home after a burglar broke into their car. A few nights later, another burglar allegedly broke into their car again. Wow. It's like GTA out there. Like, stop burglaring me. They both became hypervigilant and decided to take a proactive stance in defending their home, using the bike as bait and beating on perpetrators who came to steal it. Huh? The couple reportedly continued their crusade for months until they were finally detained by authorities, and they would post their things on YouTube? No one was ever arrested or charged for attempted theft because Corna and Grillot never made an official report to law enforcement. Let's see what the police have to say about this. Not a huge police report here. So the details are that the violent crimes detectives investigated a series of assaults that had occurred on East Dove. These assaults began in July 2019 and continued through November 2019. The assaults were posted by the suspects on YouTube. In the video, it appears as if the suspects planted a bicycle in the front yard of their residence, unsecured, and waited for someone to try to steal the bicycle. Once someone tried to steal the bike, the suspects would rush from the house and assault the individual with a baseball bat. The victims in the cases received various non-life-threatening injuries. At this point, four individuals have been identified as having been assaulted by the suspects. Both suspects were located today and booked for assault with a deadly weapon and conspiracy charges. Anyone with further information regarding those assaults is urged to contact the detectives. Let's see if we can find the video here. How about this?
They would film the entire thing to post onto YouTube and Facebook.
I was surprised it didn't. Nobody reported sooner because it was almost every night for a minute.
Neighbor Karis LeBeau says at first the neighborhood supported the couple.
Wow, they were doing this almost every night. There was a beating. It's time for the nightly bike beating. That's crazy that a bike's getting stolen every single night, but I guess this is what happens. Okay, so it's on their Ring.com camera. This show is sponsored by Ring.com. Get yourself hacked, and then hackers can talk to your kids.
Officers say the couple planted the bike as a decoy several times throughout July to November. If someone took the bait, they would film the entire thing to post onto YouTube and Facebook.
No, chat, do not take an unlocked bike. My bike was stolen right out of my dad's garage that one time.
Definitely disturbing. I would like for action to be taken against these people for what they've done to these victims.
Wait, no! Hang on. That's the police talking? The police should say, at minimum. Okay, sorry that your bike kept getting stolen, but stop beating people. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Deadly weapon. I did talk with the Navy, who told me that there is an investigation into Grillet, but they would not tell me whether or not she will stay with the Navy. Reporting live from Visalia, Madeira's Bab, KC24, local news that matters.
All right, here's another listener-submitted story based on a Facebook post. You know these stories that the news just writes? They see a Facebook post and they go, oh, let's write a whole news story on this. Alarmed drivers on the Northern California Highway spotted a young girl Saturday evening in a vehicle holding up a handmade sign that said, "Help me! She's not my mom! Help!" California Highway Patrol officers said. And then they posted to Facebook. They said at approximately 5:02 p.m., our officers received a call of a vehicle traveling on southbound SR-99 with a female juvenile in the backseat holding up a piece of paper asking for help. It says, "Help me! She's not my mom! Help!" Two of our motor officers responded, as well as a canine unit, located the vehicle. A high-risk enforcement stop was made on the vehicle with the assistance of CHP Stockton personnel. Can you imagine? You get pulled over. You're a mom. You're like, why am I getting pulled over? I'm going five under in a minivan, right? Or did it say SUV? I don't even know. I wasn't paying attention. And they pull out their guns, and they approach the car like, hands out the window! Hands out the window! Because they think there's a real kidnapping here, probably. The vehicle immediately yielded to the right shoulder of the freeway. The driver was contacted, and it was determined that the juvenile had made it all up and thought it was a fun thing to do. So the kid's in the back, like, I'm bored. We've been driving for hours. How can I mix this up? All right, I know. I'll make a sign. The mother was unaware of what her daughter was doing, and it was determined that there was no foul play. There was foul play, just not by the mother. The mother and daughter were allowed to leave the scene. This is a reminder that parents need to be aware of what their children are doing in the back seats at all times. Oh, yeah? Okay. So, do you want the parent to be watching the road and paying attention to the road, or do you want the parent to be watching the back seat at all times? Make up your mind, government. Do you want us to be safe, or do you want us to be staring at the back seat? And also, this kid needs an apostrophe on she's, right? So, don't, and they hashtagged it, not funny. New Jersey family said that they received used diapers from Amazon.
Exactly what was in those diapers? It's a mystery that has rattled Nestle Sales and her family. The Jersey City mom had ordered two boxes of diapers from Amazon, as she does every month, for her two daughters. Purchasing the items from the site's Amazon warehouse section, where open box and returned items are sold at a discount rate. When they arrived this week, she says nothing could have prepared her for what she says she found inside, just as she was about to change her daughter.
I picked up the diaper.
Change her daughter?
It was a little bit heavy. I was half asleep. The lights were off. At that point, I turned on the light, and that's when I noticed these diapers are neatly folded and they are soiled. I couldn't believe it.
The shocking discovery.
So someone, unless she's pulling the scam here, someone ordered diapers from Amazon and then used them and then processed them as a return?
Prompted the mom to eat.
And then Amazon didn't check. It's like, oh, this looks sealed.
Immediately disinfect her nursery, even wiping down her 19-month-old daughter with rubbing alcohol.
What?
As the child, who is immune compromised, was just in.
Can you, are you supposed to do that? Hold still. I'm going to get the spray bottle of alcohol and you just spray them all over the place. Close your eyes.
Inches away from what she believes was a health hazard and odor to fecal material.
Ooh.
What they want now, a better explanation from Amazon about the mishap.
Please, I don't want any other families to have to go through this again.
Now, according to its website, Amazon inspects and certifies every open box product before reselling it. It's a process the family says obviously did not happen in this case. Now,
they're going to have to do some analysis, right? Can they test that stuff? Be like, whose kid did this come from? Or adult, you know? And then track it back through all the sales and be like, all right, everyone send in your samples, because we got to figure out who soiled these diapers. Two people are in custody in Flowood. Flowood. I don't even know what state that is. Mississippi? Accused of trying to claim a $100,000 lottery ticket on a scratch-off with a fake result. Bond was set Tuesday for the two of a Flowood municipal judge. Wow, my brain is loop-de-loop. Bond was set Tuesday for the two by a judge. Otis, 47, and Russell, 48, were given bond. They were given different bonds, though, which is interesting. $51,000 versus $21,000. Don't know how we come up with this. Is like, how much do you think you can spend? How much you got? They both pleaded not guilty. They were charged with conspiracy to commit a felony and uttering a counterfeit instrument. Now, uttering a counterfeit instrument just means having something that is counterfeit. Money, check, I assume, could count, or apparently a lottery ticket. The two individuals came into the lottery headquarters in Flowood Monday, claiming to seek a prize. They said that lottery officials immediately determined that the ticket had been altered. It appeared that glue had been used. So they take a scratch ticket where it says, if you scratch off the number 12, you get $10 million, $100,000, right? Or if it's like $300,000 in a row, you win that. So most of the time you scratch it off and it's like $100,000, I'm so close to winning. $5, right? So it's net, you never win, but they want to make you think you won. You almost won. Because the results are not actually random. Like, the tickets are not random. They're controlled. So the suspects presented $100,000 ticket that had been altered by gluing the winning numbers on the ticket that matched the prize. The ticket was signed and presented to the commission for payment. So they just take a couple tickets, take the winning numbers, cut them out, and then glue them on. And they said, here you go. See, it matches. That's not how scratch tickets work. In fact, you can buy a scratch ticket, and you can immediately have the cashier hold the scratch ticket barcode up to the beeper, and it goes win or loss. Right? You should just do that. You'd be like, give me 10 scratch tickets, and I'm not even going to scratch them. Just beep them under the machine and see if I won or lost. So they beep it, and obviously it's not real. And then they go, what do they expect to happen? Like, the person who just works the stand at the lottery office is going to be like, wow, they do all match. Let me bust open the cash register. Here's your $100,000. No, they got to scan it, and it has to match. And even sometimes when it's not altered, this has happened before. This happened 4 years ago. This lady had her scratch ticket where it said you win $10,000, $20,000 or whatever. And she didn't. When they scan it, it says she didn't. And the reason that it happened was because the lottery ticket machine cut it in the wrong place. So the winning numbers got matched on the wrong physical card, right? Like, it was supposed to cut it here, and it cut it, like, an inch down so that the wrong numbers got matched with the wrong card. And so when she scratched it, it looked like she won, and the barcode said no. And in that case, I feel like they should have given her the money because she played the game, she bought the ticket, and the game said she won. But the laws are written, I assume, in such a way that, like, if there's a mistake with the system, no, you don't win. So you have to not mess up, plus they have to not mess up for you to ever win. No wonder everyone's so poor around here. It's the scratch tickets that's keeping everyone down, right? All right, it has been News with Nick. Head on over to newswithnick.com. Thank you for hanging out, everyone. See what the chat's saying. Not much. So, first episode of 2019 is in the books. Oh, wait a minute. What year is it? First episode of 2020 is done. Maybe we'll get 12 whole episodes done this year. I don't even know how many we did last year. But thanks for coming. It's been a long show. Longest show I've ever done. Newswithnick.com. Sign up for the text updates. It is the best way to get your updates as to when the news show will publish. And it's also cool because on the list of subscriptions, I can see that a new one was added. And that makes me feel like someone cares, even though, well, we know the truth. Okay, bye.